In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. Today, on this first Sunday after the Feast of Pentecost, which we celebrated last week, we remember all the saints who lived, who struggled, and attained salvation. So, I want to begin by asking a question. What are we here for today? Why are we here? Did we come to church today because we want to worship God? Did we come to church today to partake of the Eucharist, of Holy Communion? Did we come to church today because it's a great place, a wonderful place for a social gathering? Did we come to church today because it's tradition in our family or in our culture, or it's something that we just do? To answer the question of what we are here for today, we must first understand this whole idea, this understanding of the idea of church, what it means. It's not just the building that we gather in today. While this may be a church, it's not the church. What makes up the church is you and I. It's us. And what makes up the church, the body of Christ, for us as Orthodox Christians, are the millions of Christians who gather worldwide in unity to worship the one true God. So then, why do we do it? Why are we here? Well, let's look at the meaning of the word church. In Greek, the term church, ekklesia, when translated into English, means to call out. To call out to the faithful to gather together. And to call out to the heavens and to ask for God's mercy. Ultimately, the Christian life, as we've heard time and time again, is a calling. It's a calling for each and every one of us. It's a calling to attain what we understand is theosis, to attain intimacy with God, to participate in His energies. And then, so then what this means ultimately for us is that we are called to become saints. In Greek, the word agios, or agi, the holy ones of God. Yes, you and I are called to join those who are invisibly present with us today. The images of those that we see in the icons around us as we look up and we look to our left and we look to our right. Many of you may be thinking now, how could I possibly become like St. Nicholas or St. George or St. Spiridon or St. Marcella or St. Euthymia or on and on and on. Or even the greatest saint of our church, the Theotokos. It's not as difficult as we think, we may believe. After all, these people were mere body and soul, just as we are. But they chose to dedicate their everything, their body and soul, to God. Which really is, I hope we understand, the sole purpose of our existence. To dedicate, to commit our whole body, mind, and soul to Christ our God. Do we not say this in the liturgy and the other services that we have? In fact, the last verse of the petitions that we say some 11 times in the Orthros and in the liturgy, let us commit ourselves and one another to Christ our God, the Theotokos and all the saints. So on this Sunday of All Saints, as we know it, we remember those who have gone before us. Those who have fulfilled God's plan for humanity here on earth. Those who took up the call from God to join Him. And the many who suffered greatly and died for the faith. It is on these days that we not only commemorate the saints who are well known to us, but we also commemorate those whose names we do not know. As is known, every single day of the year, with the exception to the major feast days of Christ and the Theotokos, is celebrated with the memory of a myriad of saints. And we heard those in the Orthodox service, in the Synaxarion, the roll call of the saints that are read. And in your bulletin, you can see the names of each of the saints that we commemorate on a daily basis. And many of the saints are not even included in this list. There are many, many, many saints that we commemorate on a daily basis. However, it should also be remembered that each and every person who attains the kingdom of heaven through the grace of God is essentially a saint, a holy one of God. Even departed loved ones that have the possibility of attaining sainthood, while we don't specifically assign the term of saint to them, we still pray and offer our prayers and hope that one day they and those of us alive here on earth will be together again. For those whom we do honor as official saints have been recognized at this level, as we are confident that because of their Christian life, the life that they led, and the life that we know of in the history of our church, they have attained, by the grace of God, glory to enter into the heavenly kingdom. So today is also a day on which many who don't actually have a known patron saint, whose name they share in our church, will celebrate their name day. Oftentimes, those who may not have a particular saint as their patron saint will celebrate on this day, All Saints Day. On the topic of who would make a candidate for a saint in our church, we can see from the icons of our church or from the stories that we have heard of our own patron saints that they came from many different walks in life. We have saints who were doctors, soldiers, attorneys, fishermen, laborers, tent makers, bishops, monks, priests, nuns, kings, queens, married couples, whole families who were killed for their faith. We have repentant prostitutes. Saint Mary of Egypt comes to mind as saints of our church. And also, age is no barrier. And this is something that is relevant to the youth of our church. The older ones who just left this morning to go to Camp Emmanuel, I'm certain that they will hear this, because when we go to camp, it's one of the things that we preach and teach and discuss with their young people about the many young people who have given their lives for Christ. For example, the apostle and evangelist St. John the Theologian, the same one who wrote the gospel that bears his name in the book of Revelation, was a youth of only 14 years old when he was chosen by Christ to become one of the 12 disciples. Even the Mother of God was a mere teenager, according to the tradition of the time when she gave birth to Jesus. Saint Marcella was only a child when her pagan father martyred her for her faith because he wanted to use her for incestuous means. Saint Catherine was a young woman who was full of beauty and wisdom and recognized these as gifts from God and chose to use these gifts to witness about Christ. And she was martyred for her faith. And there are many, many others. Ultimately, through the great sufferings and tortures that martyrs endured, they were able to attain a special position in God's kingdom, a special position in our church, which is God's kingdom on earth, and a special position in our hearts, the place where we need to make manifest the kingdom of God. Having said all this, what are the terms and conditions, if you will, because that's how we like to understand it, the terms and conditions of attaining sainthood, of becoming one of the saints? We've just noted that you don't need to be young or old. You don't need to be a bishop or a nun or a priest. And you certainly don't need to walk through life trying to display actions of false piety. Our Lord and Savior tells us in today's gospel how we are to become saints. This is how. We must confess Christ before all people. This means that we don't hide our faith as if it's something to be embarrassed about. Don't wonder what people might think if you go to church every week or even several times a week. Don't feel ashamed to make the sign of the cross when you are in public before or after a meal or at any time. Furthermore, don't disregard the practice of praying and reading scripture as if it's something that only the priests or Bible teachers or the holy ones, if you will, do. Scripture is the word of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's the bread of life. We should be reading it daily and at all times. We have, as Orthodox Christians, over 2,000 years of tradition. And we have a God who loves us very much. It's not something that we should hide. It's not something that we should put away or only bring out, if you will, at certain times. It is something that should make us joyful. It's something that should bring us and put us in a state of peace. And it's something that we should wish the whole world would be a part of. So we need to place Christ and to love Christ before anyone else that we love. Number two, we need to love Christ more than our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our husbands, our children. And this is often a difficult point with many Christians. And it's quite a hard condition to fulfill. However, what we need to do is to focus our attention on Christ and to focus our love toward Christ. And after we do this, after a time that we do this, the love for our family members follows naturally. The final point of taking up one's cross and following Christ is interconnected with the second point. The message of Christ often creates sharp conflicts and divisions within families due to people's unbelief or total disregard for the Creator. To carry one's cross to the end, however, the true saint must be prepared, if absolutely necessary, to sacrifice even these family relationships. The true saint must also be prepared to endure the hardships that the world may bring. So there are three key points: confessing Christ, loving Christ above everyone and everything else, and taking up one's cross and following Christ. So as we celebrate all of the saints today, the church describes for us what it means to be a saint, how to become a saint, not just in how we act, but more importantly, how we live. But where the power is that makes it capable for us to do this. And that power is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the author. Jesus Christ, who is the finisher of our faith. What a great promise that the Lord says, if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before His Father. That is what we are waiting for. That is what we are hoping for. That is what we desire as Christians. That is the blessed hope that we are hoping for. So may it be realized in each one of our lives by struggling to live in all ways as a Christian, today and forever. Amen.